Hi, my name is Michelle Young, and today we're going to be talking to two professionals in the wellness industry to learn a little bit more about how we can better take care of our body and our nervous system. First, we'll be talking to Dr. Krista Jenny, a PT and pelvic floor specialist, who will give us a little bit more information about how our pelvic floor works in conjunction with our breath and what we can do to support pelvic floor health. Following our conversation with Dr. Krista, we will meet Dr. Peter. Peter Martinez is a chiropractor in Austin, Texas, who has a holistic lens on wellness. He is pioneering a technique that involves a multifaceted approach to health and well-being that includes chiropractic, mental health, and nutrition. Dr. Peter will take us on a journey through the nervous system and help us to better understand how we can take care of our mind and body through the lens of chiropractic interventions.
Good morning and welcome to Heartfelt Consciousness. My name is Michelle Young and I'm here today with Dr. Krista. Welcome, Dr. Krista. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. So excited to talk.
Well, we are excited to learn a little bit more about your practice and what got you, to where you are today. So I'd love to know what inspires your yoga practice.
Right. Yeah. Well, I first got into yoga and meditation and mindfulness when I was in college. I went to the University of Vermont my freshman year, and I actually lived in a dorm that was kind of yoga wellness inspired called the Wellness Environment. It was like a specific dorm you could live in. And I just noticed the great benefits in academia, in school, especially in physical therapy school. Once I started there, I feel like so many classmates were having to go on anti-anxiety medications or depressant medications just from the stress of school. And I feel like yoga and meditation mindfulness and that background from my first year of undergrad really helped me stay mentally clear and be able to get through school less stressful.
Absolutely. It definitely does help us to manage our stress for sure. How does yoga fit into your career? Tell us a little bit about your practice.
Yeah, so I am a pelvic floor physical therapist here in Austin. So I see a lot of people with pelvic pain, pregnancy and postpartum changes, as well as urinary bowel and sexual dysfunction. So whether that be pain with sex, leaking your pants, having constipation. A lot of things that can happen between your ribcage and knees is what I specialize in. And yeah, the breath and having a mind-body connection is super important for maintaining pelvic health. A lot of people lack awareness of that area or have been chronic ab sucker-inners or butt clenchers and don't realize that like we should be able to inhale and relax. As we inhale, pelvic floor naturally relaxes. And as we exhale, it kind of naturally lifts. And a lot of people have trouble finding that body awareness and just, being able to find connection to that area of that of the body. So that's super important in the work I do. And yeah, I always recommend forming a mindfulness yoga routine. Also just with the nervous system and people being in sympathetic drive and being on the go all the time, sitting down, being able to breathe, find your body is super important for regulating the nervous system as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. We just finished our advanced somatic practices course, which is a sequel to our somatic healing course. And somatics and body awareness is so important for integration. I couldn't agree more. I'm fascinating about the breath and the diaphragm, the inhalation and the exhalation. I'm definitely going to play with that a little bit myself in my own.
Yeah.
How does your career and the integration of yoga and mindfulness fuel your heartfelt desire? What is really your purpose here?
Yeah, I just feel like, that deep connection between the mind and body and having that self-awareness, that mindfulness, being able to find more of your inner peace and balance to help with stress reduction. When people are stressed, they're much more likely to be tense and tight. A lot of people I see have a lot of pelvic floor tension. So our pelvic floor should be able to contract, relax, and bulge. And a lot of people get stuck engaged and aren't able to find that balance and mindfulness and awareness of being able to drop on command that can lead to so many symptoms of pelvic pain, also other conditions as well that you might think you need strengthening, but we can't really fully strength if you don't have the adequate range of motion to build that strength as well. Also just being able to better regulate your emotions and stay calm and have a clear mental state and increasing your energy to be able to do the activities you enjoy. So all that's super important in leading life with great quality. So yeah.
Absolutely. I'm really fascinated about the pelvic floor and what you're talking about, this dynamic range of motion, you know, where the pelvic floor can contract, relax, and bulge is what I heard you say. So there's three different components to that. One of the things that we talk a lot about in yoga is bandhas. And, you know, bandhas sort of are paralleled or mirrored in, you know, some of the exercises physicians will give, especially women for incontinence and things like that. What is your take on like that active holding, like that, you know, some people call it a Kegel, some people would call it Mula Bandha. Mula Bandha is not actually a Kegel, but people do sometimes compare the two. I'm just curious, in my practice and me personally, I feel like I'm constantly holding. I feel like I would be holding Mula Bandha whether I want to or not, you know,
yeah.
And trying to overemphasize a little bit. So I'd love to know your perspective on that.
Yeah, so I'd say the majority of people I see have tension in their pelvic floor muscles. So until we're able to get that tension resolved, I hold back from doing any kind of conscious Kegels or pelvic floor contractions on your own at home. I always assess the strengths so that we can know what your strength is. And a lot of people, when I have them do a Kegel, they get stuck engaged and they're not able to relax. And we have to kind of do trigger point release to the muscles to get them to come back down. Some people postpartum say they have no tension in their pelvic floor muscles and all they have is incontinence or prolapse symptoms. So in that scenario, I think doing isolated pelvic floor contractions is totally fine. And even in people that maybe you can have stress incontinence, which is leaking with coughing, laughing, sneezing, pushing, whatever increases your abdominal pressure. So you can have incontinence in those situations with tight muscles too. So tight muscles can still be weak. Like I said, if you're always half engaged, that's such a small range of motion to get a strong contraction to stop a heavy sneeze or cough. To prevent leaking. So if we can get those muscles down and relaxed first, and then, so sometimes people, if they have tension, their leakage or prolapse symptoms might feel worse in the beginning when we're trying to gain that full range. And then once we gain that full range, then we can start to work on the strengthening component. Did that answer your question?
Absolutely. I mean, definitely through your lens, I think, but absolutely did answer my question. What I heard you say is that most of your clients do have a little bit of tension retained within the muscles, which prevents mm-hmm. them from having that full range of motion or being able to access, you know, extremes on either side. So yeah, that's really fascinating. I talk a lot about that, not as it relates to the pelvic floor so much, but as it relates to postural conditioning in the body based on just like emotional and intellectual holding. So definitely something that we talk a lot about in somatics, because, you know, that it's that little bit of tension that is always in the muscles that's underlying and really a result of the nervous system's holding in whatever pattern they're in that prevents them from accessing full range of motion and from, you know, really realigning their body to optimize their energy. So, yeah, I think this is all fascinating.
And yeah, the pelvic floor muscles should work subconsciously. We shouldn't have to think about them engaging, relaxing when we're doing everyday tasks. Sometimes when you go through childbirth or pregnancy or have some other sort of trauma, you can kind of lose that subconscious engagement and we have to kind of train that. So that's called the NAC reflex, which is basically just doing a conscious Kegel before you cough, laugh, sneeze, before you lift something heavy, just to retrain that connection. But yeah, ideally the muscles should just work on their own and we should kind of not even sense their presence and they should just work optimally. So
that's awesome. Now I do know I hear that for sure. Are you currently working on any special projects, any books or workshops or courses?
I do teach typically monthly free workshops called Elevate Your Pelvic Health, Pregnancy, Postpartum, and Beyond. I do plan to collaborate with your South Lamar studio to host a workshop. I think we're going to make it a little bit more than just my workshop and kind of collaborate to include more than just pelvic health. So I'm excited, yeah, to get that scheduled, and we're going to collaborate on that.
That is, it's definitely a field, especially for women, that that people are talking about right now and have been for the last 5-10 years or so. It's one of the areas that people will ask most frequently in training, that, you know, obviously we don't have that expertise. You know, I worked more with, you know, like movement that is like more gross movement, motor movement. And so, you know, there's really like delicate and intricate connections, you know, within the pelvic floor. And they're so layered and nuanced, even, I find, especially when we're trying to teach like the bandhas, for example. It isn't such a dramatic contraction. It's much more of a subtle lift. So yeah, it's really interesting. I think it's fascinating work for sure. Anything else that you'd like to share with us today, or let us know? Where's your personal or your private practice here? Yeah.
So I do home visits. So I do pelvic floor physical therapy from the comfort of your home in Austin and beyond. So I also do virtual as well for people that are out of my driving range. And yeah, I post a lot on my Instagram. I'm always trying to push content on there. So, because I know not everyone has access to a pelvic floor physical therapist, or maybe no one's in their area. So I love to just provide free education on social media as well. And yeah, just letting people know that pelvic floor issues may be common, but they're not normal, especially after childbirth. People will have scar pain or pelvic pressure, prolapse, incontinence, painful sex, all of those things. You might hear people talking about them as like, oh, that just happens after you have a baby, but it doesn't have to be. Or even just people that have painful periods. Painful periods aren't normal either, and pelvic PT can help with that as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so good to know.
Yeah.
Our listeners are going to probably be wanting to find you. What is your Instagram handle and website?
Yeah, my Instagram is dr.krista_pelvisrestored, and then my website is pelvisrestored.com.
Beautiful. Well, Krista, it was great having you today. Thank you so much for tuning in today, y'all. And please check out Krista's site.
Thank you.
Now let's check in with Dr. Peter Martinez on holistic healthcare. Hello and welcome. My name is Michelle Young, and this is an episode of Heartfelt Consciousness. I'm here today with Dr. Martinez, a chiropractor serving the South Austin community. Welcome in, Dr. Peter. How are you?
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Love this. Love what you guys do here. Love talking about health and wellness. I'm pumped for this.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're excited to have you too. Love to get a little bit more information about what you do for a living and how yoga has impacted your career.
Yeah. So we own a holistic health center here in Austin, Texas. We're in a few other states as well now, which is exciting, and moving into the corporate wellness space. But River City Wellness is the clinic that we have the opportunity to partner with you guys with. And so we put chiropractic first. So that means we start with the nervous system first and foremost. We know that it is very difficult to eat, sleep, go to the bathroom, focus. If you're running from a lion or running from a bear, or if there's a disconnect in your brain's ability to communicate to the rest of the body. So we start with there, but then we dive into what we call our five essentials. So we have nutrition, mindset, minimizing toxins, oxygen, exercise. And so combined with chiropractic, that's the healthcare model that we deliver for our patients. And so yoga has an incredible influence on many of those essentials. My wife is not practicing teaching now, but has taught in the past when I was in chiropractic school and I was training and working on my doctorate. And that was when I first started doing yoga. So maybe 10 years now. My practice, I would say I'm growing, I'm learning. I need to do it more. I don't do it regularly currently. And I miss it because when I was regularly taking classes and regularly working on that, I saw my own flexibility, my own health, my own mindset really improve. And so I'm looking forward to getting into some of your classes next door now, here in South Austin, as my wife's not teaching anymore. And it's interesting, when we first started our clinic, it was before we had three kids and life kind of got away from us a little bit in some ways, to be honest. But my wife was teaching here in our office just as because we felt it was so valuable for our patients. We had patients that were in the Medicare age that needed more range of motions. We had millennials and younger that were just stuck in fight or flight. So that's the other component where yoga has been a huge help. So we have flexibility, we have back pain, we have neck pain, we have just range of motion. But one of the key things that we test for all of our patients when they first come in our office, and one of the metrics we use to evaluate their health, is heart rate variability. And so we know a yoga practice or yoga practice, that flow that ties into our mindset essential, but it also really dramatically affects the nervous system and dramatically affects the vagus nerve. And my opinion is yoga and chiropractic go very well hand in hand and can really benefit a patient or a human in several different ways, very holistically.
Well, I wonder how you have been inspired by mindfulness practices in your wellness journey. Tell me a little bit more about what inspired you to become a chiropractor in the first place.
That's a great question. I started at 16, actually working. I was a surfer. I lived on the beach. I worked on the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and I started working in ocean rescue in a fire department. And then that started an emergency medicine career that just continued to go, really starting at the age of 16. And that continued to go. I did my undergrad, but I continued to work as a critical care paramedic. I worked in rescue teams, and I just saw the emergency medical system very clearly. I got to know it very well. I did well in that career, but I began to feel my own body just chronically being stuck in fight or flight. Even when I was not working, that I would still feel the effects of that. Cortisol, I was very inflamed, even though I was the same weight and same body size as I am now. I was just inflamed from the stress. And then I also saw really what I refer to as our sick care system at its finest. And so my opinion is that this is a great country to receive critical care from. If you get hit by a car or if you're in a crisis, I'm very grateful for the medical doctors, ICU and ER team. But what I also saw is that there was a missing void in true healthcare and preventative healthcare, really holistic healthcare. And I began to question the career path I was on, heading to medical school and to become an emergency physician. And I began to look for other paths and other ways to be able to provide care for people that I felt was congruent with what I believed and what I was discovering. And I knew there had to be another option to get people healthy and maybe break them out of the cycle that I saw in the emergency medical world. And what I mean by that is, the car accidents or the heart attacks aside, there were many patients that would be suffering from a chronic disease that would get to a point where it would become an emergency. And then I would pick them up, I would take them to the emergency room, we'd stabilize them, help them. And then 3 months later, a month later, we would get a call to the same house and it would be the same person, just with the only difference is they would have another medication. No one was coaching them. No one was supporting them. No one was helping them move their body. No one was coaching them in nutrition. No one was helping them find the root cause of why their body wasn't healing. And so that was kind of one of the key things for me that said, hey, there's got to be something different. There has to be another way here. And so at the time, my wife was struggling with digestive issues, with hormone issues, with sleep problems. I was living in fight or flight, and none of my peers who were in the kind of allopathic model related answers for any of us. And I was also seeing firsthand some things that were frustrating me with that model. So I met a chiropractor one day at an acquaintance of my sister, and he invited me to come see what he was doing. And I was really not interested. But I began to think about it more and more. And I just continued to reevaluate my own health and my wife's health and our family. And I finally agreed to. when I walked into his office, my mind was totally open. My mind was blown, really, because what I saw was I saw community, first of all. I saw people working together. I saw high fives. I saw smiles. I saw high energy in the office. And then I began to talk with patients away from the doctor, and I was hearing of people that were committed to lifestyle change. They were committed to change their mindset on their health. They were committed to change their behavior. They were really equipped on really what the true definition of health actually is. They were really equipped. And because of that, they were coming off of medications. And because of that, they were reversing diagnoses that they thought they would have for the rest of their life. And it, to me, it was just immediate. I knew, hey, I want to do this. I can do this. And so that started my journey. And then I had to, of course, be accepted to school and apply to school. And but that was the kind of genesis story, abbreviated, I guess.
That's really cool. I mean, you hear it all the time, people talking about, you know, our healthcare system and, you know, strengths versus weaknesses. But I think the holistic healthcare model is, you know, really what we believe in on, obviously, as, you know, yoga teachers, yoga therapist, et cetera, but, you know, definitely bringing in nutrition, bringing in lifestyle choices or changes and, you know, the various forms of movement, I think are so mm-hmm. important for people to really maintain wellness in their life. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this?
So school is about 4 years after your doctorate. So I feel like that was the full commitment and really where my life started changing. But we've been in practice here in South Austin for 6 years now.
Awesome.
And, so going on maybe 10 total, but 6 years clinically seeing patients. And it's been incredible. We've been able to open 3 locations, and then we're getting to the real exciting thing is we moved to Austin because we know, and you know, UT kind of coined that what happens in Austin changes the world. And so we saw a lot of energy coming to Austin. We saw a lot of people coming to Austin, and our hope was that we could begin to have influence on the healthcare system in a greater way. And so we established ourselves as a family practice and have been practicing that way, and we'll continue to hopefully for years. But we're also now being able to influence a little bit of the corporate health space and really how companies think about their health and what they can offer their employees and really try to create a better quality of life for their employees while they're in the workplace. And yoga is a big part of that. I know a lot of companies are adapting yoga into their corporate wellness programs. So I'm really excited to begin to change cultures, you know, whether that's neighborhoods, that's families, that's companies or cities. I feel like when you have your health, you can do what you love to do. You can do what you're called to do. You can do what's you can express creativity. You can just live to your full potential. When you lose your health, it's very much the opposite, right? It's everything shuts down and it's very difficult to thrive. And so to us, we know that when we can see maybe the southeast corner of Austin getting a little healthier, we're going to see families thriving, neighborhoods thriving, workplaces thriving. And it eventually will influence the culture of an entire city. And when Austin leads the way with something, the rest of the world is definitely looking. So we're on a pretty big mission here. And so I love partnering with companies like yours, businesses, practices like yours that are also on a mission and that are really very intentional in changing the lives of people in their community. So
absolutely. I'd love to know a little bit more about your corporate wellness programs. What types of services are you offering your corporate clients?
Yeah, so we are just stepping into this space. We have a large client. It's pretty well known in the city, and we're establishing a clinic just like our local public clinic in their space. So it's a 2,000 square foot facility. So everything I described from chiropractic, nutrition, mindset, toxicity testing and processing and exercise, we're providing that holistic model for them. What that looks like is that we're functioning in like a non-prescriptive kind of primary care role for them, in that we're doing initial testing to see what the needs are of the company and of the workers, the employees. And then we're helping establish programs like yoga, like fitness, like nutrition, like chiropractic, massage, whatever it might mean to get those employees healthy. So it's a very holistic model. And I think really the sky's the limit. I think we're willing to bring in the necessary teams that provide the best level of care to get that company healthy. But for us, you may be familiar with heart rate variability and so in the yoga space, but for those of you that aren't familiar, whether you wear an Apple Watch, if you do that, or have a Whoop watch or an Oura ring, in the healthcare space, it's becoming what I would say is like the holy grail of health. We're learning how much heart rate variability actually influences your health and how effective it is as a key measure for that. And I even met some people recently who are using heart rate variability to correlate with A1C levels, and so blood sugar levels. And it's amazing. There's thousands and thousands of connections that you can make through that. And why it's significant to us is that when we can assess someone's heart rate variability, what we're doing is we're measuring their adaptability to stress. So not whether they're currently stressed, but how well their body adapts in response to stress. And that ties so well with yoga, because yoga is an incredible tool to help the body and the mind really. Well, you're probably better to explain it, but my understanding is that like you're able to use that as a tool to recenter and to, despite the environment that you're living before that practice, reconnect with your body and reconnect with peace and healing. And so the heart rate variability is really a measure of how well somebody adapts to health. And that's really the definition of health. And it's maybe a good takeaway or write or downer if someone's listening now, is that health is not the absence of disease, but how well the body adapts and heals, or how fast it can return to homeostasis, really. And so, and the definition continues to evolve, you know, spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's a very holistic definition of what health is. And so if we can actually now measure through heart rate variability how well the human physiology can return back to homeostasis, it gives us a good benchmark to begin to, and hopefully in most cases, be preventative, but really get someone back to a place where they can begin to respond. And a simple analogy, a simple way to understand this and how this ties into your original question, is that if somebody, the philosophy that we take in our practice is that if someone is living in a state of fight or flight or sympathetic dominance, and they're struggling to break out of that, it's going to be very difficult for them to heal. You can't eat, sleep, poop, focus if you're running from a lion. It's very difficult. And so many patients that come into our office come to us and are struggling with a lot of these things, and they're doing a lot of the right things. They're exercising, they're eating well, they're typically, if you live in Austin, you're on some sort of, you're a step ahead of the general population on average. And there's a lot of good things, but some people neurologically and structurally have been in that fight or flight state for so long, they're just stuck. So it's like stress being stuck on. And so what we do is we look to determine the source of that, whether it's a chemical stress, an emotional stress, or physical stress. And we say, okay, what is the root cause of that stress? Can we define that stress? And sometimes that goes as far back as the birth process. But what could that stress be? And if we can determine that stress and we can help them break them out of that, we'll watch that HRV actually rise, and we'll watch them begin to, I say it funny or casually, but eat, sleep, poop, and focus, right? It's like their body gets back into a state of healing. It gets back into a state of homeostasis, and it just radically starts to heal. So it was a long tangent, but an important one, because it's really the principle that we take with health. So when you're looking, whether you're looking at corporate wellness or your family's health or your own individual health, our belief is that if you're frustrated or you feel like you're stuck or you're plateauing with your health, it's maybe not because you're not working hard enough. Maybe it's not because you're not doing enough workouts. Maybe, you know, you don't need to change this or get on the next fad thing. Maybe you're the neurological component or the neurological physiology of your body is just kind of stuck. And if we can help you break out of that, a lot of the good things you're doing, whether it's maybe you're already practicing yoga, maybe you're eating well, maybe you're exercising, all begin to work really beautifully and really wonderfully. Hormones come under control. Bowel movements come under control. Sleep starts to happen. Psychological breakthrough with anxiety and depression starts to happen. And it's not things that we specifically would claim to treat. We just help support the body get back to health. And what's cool about that is I think chiropractic is a key component to that. But once we physically are shifting the structure of the spine, having programs like that you offer, having a yoga practice, having an instructor, having a coach, and every single one of those essentials, we call them essentials because we believe they're not options. So if you're not moving your body, if you're not exercising, if you're not taking time to meditate and pray and move your body and connect with your body, it's like a wheel that is missing a spoke, right? Or it's like a wheel with a bend in it. And so a secondary good action step may be, you may have heard of the wheel of life, right? But is to take on a piece of paper, and at the center, you know, would be zero, and at the end of the wheel or the end of the spoke would be a 10. And you take those five essentials. And so again, they're chiropractic, it's your nervous system, right? Like, are you living in fight or flight, yes or no? Are you dealing with sciatic pain or migraines or just numbness and tingling, yes or no? And you kind of, and then nutrition, are you eating whole foods, not edible food like substances? Are you eating food from the ground or that eats food from the ground? Are you moving your body? Are you working to minimize toxins in your life and your lifestyle, whether that's emotions or physical, like nutrition or chemical? Are you moving your body? Are you getting oxygen in your lung? And so rate yourself 0 to 10. And very quickly, you can find that you may be doing really well in one or two of those areas. But if you find one, two, or three areas that you're not balanced in, you're probably struggling with your health in some capacity. And I think that's just an incredible takeaway, an incredible tool to be truly holistic. A lot of us say we want to be holistic, but we don't really know what that means. It kind of means like, well, maybe I eat more organic, or I have a yoga practice. But to truly be holistic is to objectively evaluate the whole person. And I think that's a really important thing for us to do, you know, whether it's quarterly or definitely annually, if not monthly or weekly. To say, how am I doing, and to check in. And I feel like yoga also gives, that's a good check-in time. At least it has been for me. There's a lot of times when you're in that flow, you're kind of checking in with yourself, and you're checking in with your mind, your spirit, your emotions, your body. And having that regular practice definitely has, for me in the past, provided a lot of accountability for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fascinated by heart rate variability and like some of the factors that influence it. And then, you know, how it is used as a scale or a measure of health. You mentioned chemical factors. What type of chemical factors influence heart rate variability?
Anything that the body doesn't recognize, really. And so this could be heavy metals. This could be artificial chemicals in food. It's basically anything that would cause a stress response. And everybody has, you know, when it comes to chemical toxicity, we're exposed to them all day, every day, and it's impossible to avoid. And so the goal is not to live in a bubble and never be exposed to these things. It's to minimize what you can control so that your body can do its job in filtering out the things that you might not have control over. So specifically, I mean, we can get really nitty gritty if you want into some of these things, but there's chemicals in the groundwater here. One is MTBE, which I'm not a chemist, but this is a chemical that used to be in the gasoline that is now banned in gasoline that can cause a lot of cancer that I detect when we do a lot of testing for people in Austin specifically. So water is a good source of filtering chemicals. We find people's high antibiotic levels from our water in people's bloodstreams. I think pesticides that are in a lot of our food are chemicals. We know that in about 30 days, though, your body can filter that out. But it's that burden of just overloading it that will catch up. Red dyes and artificial dyes are a big one. A lot of those can be really neurotoxic and really heighten the nervous system. If you have children, you see that very quickly. If you do an experiment maybe take a month to be very intentional and reading the back of your ingredients and remove that. You'll watch I'm a father of three, but you'll watch, so speak from experience, you watch your child's physiology dramatically change. a lot of that is one of the most harmful things about a lot of candies and processed foods. It's not just the glucose load, it's the other chemicals that they're using in to preserve or color that. There's a lot of products in our plastics. And so I really encourage people to be careful about microwaving plastics or heating plastics, really, just because they leach into it. There's a lot of new evidence that I feel like it's been around, but it's becoming popular about microplastics from our water bottles leaking into our water. So there's a lot. A resource I love to help people is the EWG, so Environmental Working Group. They have an app that you can download, and you can just literally scan your products in the store, and they'll rate it and give you things to watch out for. And they're not saying yes or no; they're educating you about the product, and it's a good tool if you want somewhere to start in that department. But water is a big deal. I think if you started really being intentional about your water, started being really intentional about filtering water at home, even your bath water, I think you could really minimize a lot of the chemical load. And then I think trying to eat as much true whole foods as possible, that would also reduce a lot of the chemical burden at a very low cost.
That's great. That is really great information. And what do you see with heart rate variability? Because there's a lot of information. I'm just fascinated by it, actually. I
Yeah.
actually just picked up an Oura ring, so
That's
I'm
great. Yeah.
really like loving all the data.
Yep.
But what do you see on average? Somebody who comes in and they think they're healthy, they say they're healthy, and then you see their heart rate variability. What does it look like in real life on average?
So this is a challenging topic because every device. There's device reliability issues. And so it's not great to compare like what we're using to test, which I'll tell you is much more expensive than an Oura Ring, to test heart rate variability to the Oura Ring. The Oura Ring is very valuable, but the way I like to use those tools like the Oura Ring is to use it to follow trends. So instead of comparing like our baseline to the Oura Ring's baseline, yes, there's ranges, and I can answer that in a second, but in general, I think if you already are using a device like that, watch different trends and pay attention to your lifestyle, and see different things that may affect your heart rate variability. And I almost could guarantee it's always going to be one of three stressors. It's going to be a chemical stressor, an emotional stressor, a physical stressor that is going to trigger that heart rate variability. And it's okay if it dips, but what you want to do is you want to see it respond back to your baseline. Once you've followed those trends and you've learned kind of the maybe some of those triggers, you might say, well, I'm stuck in the 60s, for example. And so I like to see our patients at a minimum of 80, as high as 100, is kind of the range that we're looking at our devices. There's literature that says it's supposed like the trends go down as you age. I don't really love that literature because it's based off of pretty large. My opinion is sick population, and people are not, in theory, getting much healthier as they age, although they could and they should. So in our office, regardless of age, we measure infants, newborns within like a couple days of being born, all the way to 90-year-olds. And we can get people that are in the 60s, 70s, and 80s up into the mid-90s, regardless of age. And I have a lot of trainers, a lot of athletes who are doing many things right, but are still stuck in that fight or flight response. And within a month to two of really focusing on their vagus nerve, focusing on their parasympathetic nervous system from a chiropractic perspective, before we even add the other components of the essentials that we have, we see that heart rate variability rise. Now, transparently, in our office, we don't just do heart rate variability. We're in our neurological testing, we're doing three different neurological tests back to back to back to say, is that heart rate variability being influenced by an issue that is coming from the spine or the nervous system? So we really check that first. And if yes, those are the patients that we're working on from the chiropractic's perspective. If the answer is no, then we might go more into the toxicity testing or into maybe they need to exercise and it's a cardiovascular thing, or maybe it is it's in the mindset, or maybe like a yoga practice or counseling might be more appropriate for them. So that I don't know if I answered your question, but in general, I like to see our patients between 80 and 100 with the Oura Ring. It's And different tools you're using, I think they have an optimal guide. For each device, I would say that they tend to give advice on the low end of what it really could be. They're sampling large populations and trying to make a device that everybody is, our goals that everyone feels like is attainable. It's a tough question. And honestly, I don't have an Oura Ring and I don't know that I can speak to it exactly. I do know they're reliable and I've seen good things of them. I've actually had patients that have been part of the neuroscience development team for Whoop and different companies that have struggled to get their HRV up until we've added this chiropractic piece to it. And we've been able to watch it rise in our office too, which is interesting. But I would not say I'm the expert on it. I use the clinical application of it and I use it as a tool of many to help coach and support people in their health.
Absolutely. Well, I find it so interesting, and thank you so much for chatting a little bit on it. I definitely am going to do a little bit more research myself. So I'd love to check in with you and see, do y'all have any events coming up or anything that you have on the horizon you're excited about you want to share with Austin?
Yeah, so related to this heart rate variability conversation, near and dear to my heart, I believe that one of the ways that you can change healthcare is the next generation. And so, for that, a lot of the challenges I see in patients that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s really start in childhood. And it's the toxic burden or the emotional stress or the physical trauma we talked about that even can start as early as childbirth. And so, a big passion of mine is really giving the community the opportunity to check their heart rate variability, to check the we do what's called an EMG scan, which is like an EKG for your spine. We do thermal scans. And so we actually get the opportunity to help a lot of children that are struggling with neurodevelopmental disorders. So that's autism, ADHD, sensory processing. It could be adults too. The passion just is if the sooner you can change it in the developing brain, the healthier that person can come. So on April, let me double check the date here. I believe it is April 10th. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. here. We're doing a workshop called The Perfect Storm, and we're going to be talking about unraveling the perfect storm in neurodevelopmental disorders. It's free. I can share a link with you where people could register. But it's really for parents that are have children that are really struggling to look for answers, or you're just a parent that you feel like you or your child's not reaching their neurological potential or neurological optimal or are interested in getting this tested or checked. We won't be doing the testing at the workshop, but we'll be talking about how it's connected to some of that population. I believe also on the 20 March 21st with at the South Austin location with My Vinyasa, we're doing a free heart rate variability screening day. And so I think they can reach out to Kiana or someone at your team to be able to get scheduled for that. And I believe that's open to the community. And so basically there'll be 10-minute quick consults, and it's not a clinical setting, but it's just an opportunity to say like, hey, here are some of the things I'm struggling with. We'll check your HRV and give you a better idea if it's worth talking to us more, or you can get more information to see if you'd like to learn more about what we do in our practice to help that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dr. Peter. It was wonderful having you on today. Thank you for making time. And I'm excited. I'm excited to dive into a little bit more research on all of the things that we talked about today.
Awesome.
All
Thanks
right.
for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much and have a great rest of your day.